And good morning. Welcome into the Gardener's Corner program for this Friday. Hope you're having a great day. And on our program today from the North Carolina Cooperative Extension, we have Mr. Johnny Coley with his special guest, Bob Brower, to bring you today's Gardener's Corner.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Johnny Coley, as Kilby said, and I've got Bob Brower with me today. And welcome to the Gardener's Corner program. I'm the horticulture agent for Granville and Person Counties. Today's program is brought to you by Jason Acock Auctioneering, T.G. Brooks Company, been in business since 1936, E.B. Harris Auctioneers, South Boston Memorials, and Granville Auction Company. So we just want to send out a warm warm welcome to Bob Brower, but our regards to Mr. Hall, Rob Hall, who's usually here today. We're going to try to be here and do this program without him, but we wish him the best and hope he is back soon. So, and if he hears this program, he may be back sooner than later. So, here we go. Bob is a master gardener for the Granville and Person County Extension Master Gardener Program. Bob took the course, the first training that I did in the Granville and Person County Extension Master Gardeners, and so he's been a master gardener for a couple of years now. And I guess the first one was 2017? Was it 2017 or 2018, Bob? I can't remember what.
I think 18. It was right before the pandemic hit, so we made it through.
Yeah, we were able to do that one in face-to-face. And then we've had one since then, and we'll talk a little bit today about the third one we're going to have coming up in February. But Bob is a renowned beekeeper. How many hives do you have, Bob?
I'm running about 9 right now.
Okay. So we thought we'd start out today's show by talking a little bit about what we need to be doing about our bees now, what we need to do with our bees. So, Bob, what are some things we should be looking for now and paying attention to if we're a beekeeper?
Okay. Well, thanks, Johnny. Great to be here today. I first wanted to talk just a little bit about kind of bees' habits as we go into winter and how they overwinter. Bees really don't hibernate, per se, like a lot of other insects that maybe go into a nymphal form or an egg form or something like that. They overwinter just as the honeybees we normally see in the summer. But what they do is they stay in their shelter, whether that's a tree cavity or a man-made box. They stay in there and live off the resources that they've been able to store during the summer. And that basically means honey and pollen stores, honey being probably the most important. So right now, what our honeybees are doing is they're making a final push to basically sock away as many and as much resources as they can before we get to the first hard frost. So this is a really important time of year for them to do that. And some of the things that they're foraging on right now, we were fortunate in North Carolina. We have some fall flowers. We have goldenrod, the asters, various types of asters. I've actually seen my honeybees on some trees that are producing some honeydew. So they're exploiting basically any and all resources that they possibly can to build up their honey stores and pollen stores and doing a final push on producing new honeybees so that they have a healthy and robust population going into the cold weather. Because once obviously the hard frost hits and the foliage dies, the blossoms die, the pollen sources die off, then they're basically just got to make it hunker down, as they say, to make it through winter. And we lose colonies over winter because they don't have sufficient honey stores, typically, because, like I said, they have to have that honey to survive. That's the way they generate heat. able to get into a cluster formation, which is basically just a ball, if you will, a ball of bees. They consume that honey. They vibrate muscles in their body, which generates heat. So they're able to maintain the temperature that they need to survive over winter. So even though it may be snowing or frosting or whatever, they're able to maintain enough heat, provided they have that honey. That's what's so critical. So this is really a message to everyone. If you can maintain those blossoms and maybe not necessarily cut down all that goldenrod or cut down all those asters or things like that, the bees will certainly appreciate it, because that's a critical resource that they have, like I say, to create honey for their overwinter.
Yeah, a lot of people think that bees, need protection. They freeze. If you lose a hive, they actually froze. But as you said, they can make it. The temperatures are not the issue for them. It's the food, the nectar, and the honey. As long as they have that throughout, they can make it.
Absolutely.
So essentially, they have rather than freeze.
Right. Yeah, provided they have sufficient honey, they'll be absolutely fine. So as beekeepers, that's one of the things that we begin to monitor very closely this time of year, is how much honey do they have in the box. And if it's insufficient, we can feed them. We feed a different types of sugar syrups so that they can supplement their honey stores, and they'll actually turn that sugar syrup into a honey, and then they can use that over winter. So I'm right now monitoring my hives and basically by estimating their weight, and if I feel like they're not heavy enough, then we'll do some feeding to supplement that. We typically like to see in the neighborhood of 40 pounds of honey. Again, give or take, it's not an exact science, but give or take 40 pounds, and that'll get them through the winter. So if they're less than that, then like I said, we definitely have to supplement that.
Yeah, want to make sure they have enough, because you're really starting now to ensure that you have honey in the spring or summer, late spring, early summer, when you might be taking your honey. So now is the time to really make sure that your hives are in good shape coming out of the winter, so they can have that population. Because I've heard you say many times that it's all about the number of bees you have in the spring that gives you honey or not gives you honey from that hive.
Right. Great point, Johnny. Yeah, there's kind of a critical mass of bees, if you will. As I said, when it gets cold out, they go into that cluster. And if that cluster is too small, they simply can't generate enough heat to overcome the cold temperatures. So there's a critical mass of bees, good healthy bees, again, and if it's super cold, they will get into that cluster. And they can maintain temperature. And like I say, they're dependent upon those honey stores all the way up through when nectar begins to flow again, which obviously is not until the springtime flowers come out. So even though, even as the temperatures start to warm and as we get into March and so forth, that time frame, there's still not really sufficient nectar flow or, flower sources, blossom sources that have nectar, for them to really make a lot of honey. So they're still using those stores to begin to increase their population. So in the springtime, they'll begin to brood up. They actually begin to brood up in probably late January, early February in North Carolina, so that they are building up that population of bees in anticipation of the coming spring. The curious thing about honeybees is they're always kind of ahead of the plan. So like I say, right now they're in full force getting ready for winter, even though we don't think it's, it's easy to forget with these nice days we're having that winter's still far away, but it's really not. I mean, we'll have our first frost late October, the blossoms will die out, so they're getting ready for that. And that means, like I say, stocking honey, building up a population that they can make it through winter with. But it's all dependent upon having sufficient food to do that.
Yeah, we gotta have the food. I have three hives at the house, and one of my hives are it's sort of weak. Last time I went in, it was a little bit weak, and I'm actually contemplating whether to add it to another hive so they would, at least I'll have two strong hives going into the winter.
Right. Right. Yeah. The wisdom of the old beekeepers is take your losses in the fall. And what that means is if you have a weak hive and you don't think you can build it up fast enough, it's much better to combine it with another hive and make one strong hive as opposed to two weak hives or a weak hive and you know, a strong hive. It's better to combine them. And there's techniques we can use to do that successfully, to combine those hives, and that way you get a large population. And if you, you know, make it through the winter, then you have an option to split that back apart into two hives. So, again, it's a good strategy to use to do that combined like I say, help make it through the winter. Because, critical mass of bees is absolutely essential to survival.
Yeah. Well, let's take a quick break and get a word on for one of our sponsors, Jason Acock Auctioneering Company. He's having an auction in Whitaker, North Carolina, in the morning. So we're going to get a word on for him, and then we'll come back and wrap up the bee talk and get into some other topics.
Okay.
Jason Acock Auctioneering, NCAL 6679, announces a 115-head cattle auction to be held at Southside Livestock Market, 170 Livestock Road in Blackstone, Virginia, Friday, September 23rd at 6 p.m. These cattle are from three different herds. It will be black, black-white-faced, Angus, Charolais, and red Angus, and a few cow-calf pairs. For terms, to see pictures of cattle up for auction and more information, log on to jasonacockauctioneering.com or call Jason at 919-495-0285. This cattle auction Friday, September 23rd at 6 p.m. at Southside Livestock Market, 170 Livestock Road in Blackstone, Virginia. Log on to jasonacockauctioneering.com or call 919-495-0285.
Okay, welcome back to the Gardener's Corner program. I'm Johnny Coley, the Granville and Person County Horticulture Agent, and I have with me today a Master Gardener, Bob Brower. He is a very good beekeeper and also a very good Master Gardener. Very happy to have Bob as an Extension Master Gardener in the program. He's the Vice President right now, so he's got an officer duty. And Bob, I wanted to ask you, this is sort of a personal question for me, because the last time I was out actually feeding one of my weaker hives, it was actually this week sometime, I saw a wax moth hanging out inside the feeder part. If you have wax moths right now, what would be something good that you could do? Is there anything you can do for wax moths?
Yeah, that's a great question, Johnny. Obviously, the honeybees have many threats, the wax moth being one of those threats. The general rule of thumb is if a hive is strong, healthy, they can overcome wax moths. They can kill the larva, et cetera. But if a hive is weak and those wax moths get into the box, they can really devastate it. And they really do a lot of damage, not only just kill the honeybees. The wax moth larva, when it builds its cocoon, it actually eats some of the wood structure of the box itself. So wax moths are bad business. You don't want them. But like I say, really the best strategy to deal with that is to keep your hives healthy with good bee populations, good resources, and they will overcome the wax moths. Now, as you said, Johnny, sometimes you'll see them because wax moths are obviously opportunistic. They're always looking for an opportunity to get into a weak hive, and I've seen them on my hives, typically on the outside or in some area where maybe it's kind of like they're just waiting to get in there. But that's not necessarily a worry. Like I say, the main thing to focus on is keep that colony healthy, and they will overcome wax moths. I have not used them, but some people, I know you can find these on the internet, different types of traps that will attract the adult wax moths and trap them. I've contemplated using those, but I haven't so far. The biggest problem on wax moths is in some of your stored equipment, particularly stored comb. If you don't have a strategy to deal with wax moths, they can devastate that comb, because obviously the comb you've stored in your barn or your shed doesn't have any bees to protect it or patrol it for wax moths, and therefore the wax moths will get in there and literally just have a party. So you have to have there's various strategies you can use to deal with those.
Yeah, I actually had that happen to me a couple of years ago. Actually, put them in the freezer, put the frames in the freezer, hoping to kill whatever insect or what might be on it, and then put them in storage in a dark area, and went back. It was probably several months later, and evidently missed one egg or one larvae, and they did. They devastated several of the frames, and I was drawn cone. that was very distraught.
Right. Yeah. That's quite disappointing. Obviously, that comb takes a lot of effort and energy from the bees to build, and you like to preserve it as much as possible. So it's definitely worthwhile to come up with a strategy to deal with wax moths, because, like I say, you really don't want your comb destroyed. One other point I wanted to mention, Johnny, that kind of happens this time of year that beekeepers certainly need to be aware of, and it also kind of demonstrates an interesting behavior on the part of honeybees. Again, even though there are some nectar sources, it's certainly not like the springtime. And because of that, robbing behavior can happen. This is where a very strong hive will basically get in and steal honey from a weak hive. So you have to be, that's another motivation to not have weak hives or to do combines and things like that, like we mentioned earlier, to prevent having a weak hive. Because if you have a severely weak hive, they may, get robbed out, if you will, by a strong hive. Honeybees, they're gonna try to be successful, and if that success means they've got to dominate another hive and steal their honey, they will do that. One strategy in this time of year that you can certainly will help with that, again, maintain strong hives is probably the best strategy, but also make sure your entrance reduces are in right now. Once the major springtime and early summer nectar flow is over, you can reduce the size of the entrance to the hive, and that will help prevent robbing, because it's basically just less area for the guard bees to, look out over to prevent intruders from coming in. So get those entrance reducers in there, and you can leave them in, clear up until the beginning of the spring nectar flow.
Okay. Very good advice. Very good advice. If anybody does have any questions on beekeeping, if you want to get started with beekeeping, Person County Beekeepers Association has a very strong group. They meet every third Thursday. Is that correct, Bob? At 7 o'clock?
Yeah, we meet the third Thursday of every month at the Extension Office in Person County in the auditorium. We had our September meeting last night. Very informative. Had a commercial beekeeper come in and speak about his operation. So we have quite a variety of educational topics. Plus, again, just the ability to work with other beekeepers and find out what they're experiencing and get advice and counsel. So it's a great way to support your beekeeping endeavors. I did want to mention we are going to have our beekeeping class coming up in March of next year. It'll be March 18th and 25th, which is two Saturdays for a full day. So if you're a current beekeeper and want to build your skills, or somebody that just wants to get into beekeeping, I strongly suggest the class. I think it's a great way to get started. It's supported by very experienced beekeepers in the area, qualified speakers on that will speak on all the various topics associated with beekeeping, and it can lead up to your certification as a certified beekeeper, which is a certification sanctioned by the state organization. So if you're interested, you can probably find it on Google, just going to Person County Beekeepers Association, or you can go to pcba2020.wildapricot.org. Probably the easiest thing, though, is to just Google Person County Beekeepers Association, and it'll lead you to the website, and you can sign up for the class there if you're interested.
Great information. If you do have any questions regarding bees, feel free to call me at the Granville or Person County Corps of Extension office, 919-603-1350 in Granville County, 336-599-1195 in Person County. So feel free to give me a call, and if I don't know the answer, I will call Bob, and we'll get the answer. Appreciate it, Bob. Appreciate that information on bees. We're going to pause again and get a word on for a couple more of our sponsors. T.G. Brooks Company has been in business since 1936, and Granville Auction Company, who has an auction in Berea tomorrow morning.
Granville Auction Company will be hosting their Fall Farm and Consignment Auction Saturday, September 17th at 5091 Gooch's Mill Road in Berea. This auction starts at 8:30 a.m. Granville Auction Company will be selling a variety of items such as tractors, trucks, farm equipment, shop tools, and so much more. To view their full auction listing, look up their website. It's granvilleauction.com. If you're unable to make it to the auction on Saturday, you can also bid online through their website, granvilleauction.com. Again, that's Saturday, September 17th at 5091 Gooch's Mill Road in Oxford. Auction starts at 8:30 a.m. If you have any questions or would like to add items to the auction, call Perry at 919-747-1219. That's 919-747-1219. Granville Auction Company, NCAFL number 10414.
Little by little, fall is starting to come together, and it's time to head to T.G. Brooks Company. This is the best time of the year right now to get your yard off to its best start. Remember to kill those weeds in the lawn and get ready for fall seeding. You can get Fertilom and high-yield lawn and garden products right there. T.G. Brooks Company has the lawn chemicals to do the job. This is the best time of the year of all to enrich and repair the lawn. T.G. Brooks Company has new top choice turf grass seed for greener and plusher lawns, and also available are rental lawn aerators and pull and walk behind pluggers and spreaders, bag and bulk mulches and bulk planting soil. They have your fertilizers and lime. They still have plenty of lawn sprinklers, water hose, and water hose fittings if you need those hose repaired. If you need yard tools, they're in abundance, plus wheelbarrows. Pick up a couple of nice rakes while you're there, fresh pine needles, and if you are the homeowner or if you are the professional landscaper, both get the same kind of service, and they are set up to handle commercial accounts. No matter what part of Person or Durham County, it is worth the drive to come to the one source to handle your fall needs for lawn and flower garden. They have been around since 1936, and people have trusted T.G. Brooks Company for sound advice when it comes to lawn, garden, and home. They take pride in serving the homeowner, farmer, and those in construction. 411 Helena Mariah Road, next door to Community Pharmacy in Timberlake.
All right. Thank you for those sponsors, and welcome back to the Gardener's Corner program. My name is Johnny Coley. I'm the horticulture agent for Granville and Person Counties, and I have with me today Bob Brower, who is a master gardener with the Extension Master Gardener for Granville and Person Counties. We've got a pesticide class coming up on Monday. If you have a private applicator's license, which a lot of people do in the area, a lot of farmers have the private applicator's license. If you have that, you need to get 2 hours of X and 2 hours of V training every 3 years. So your license lasts 3 years, and you need 2X and 2V during that time. Well, Monday night in the Person County office, the Granville County office, as well as the Vance County Regional Farmers Market, we will be doing a class for V training. And V is often the one that a lot of the private applicators miss getting. The X is available probably during more classes, in more classes than the V training. V training is a very specific class. The NCDA inspector has to be a part of that class, so he does half of it, and then the extension agents will take up the other half of it. So Monday night at from 6:30 to 8:30 in the Granville Person County Extension offices and the Vance County Regional Farmers Market, we will have a V training. It will give you 2 hours and satisfy those three years of V training. So make sure you have your V training if you need that. The certification for private applicators expires September 30th. So this is the end of this month. This is September, hard to believe, but this is September. We're in the middle of it now. So you only have a couple more weeks to get that. So if you need it, please come on Monday night at 6:30 to 8:30 to one of those locations, and you will be able to get that. We also have a pasture management class, and it's going to be at the Van Ellis Farm, or the Ellis Farm over in Rougemont next Thursday. I'm not sure of that particular address, but it's sort of an all-day event, I think 9 to 3. So if you're interested in pasture management and you need more details about that, please call the Granville or Person County office. Person County is 336-599-1195. Granville County office is 919-603-1350 if you need more information about that. They're also going to have a fence school in October, so listen out for more details about that. I'm sure we'll have more details on that. That's going to be over at the Butner Research Farm, the beef research farm over in Butner, North Carolina, and that's going to be in October. I believe it's the 27th. I don't have that date in front of me, but I believe it's October 27th, and that, again, is an all-day event. There is a $40 charge for the fence school, but it's going to be very, very well done. You know, experts there to show you how to do your fencing. So that's just some programs we got coming up in the near future. Bob, we also have Extension Master Gardener training. It's a little bit down the road, and it's often hard to think about 2023, but it is approaching us quickly, and we hope to get this started February 9th. The Extension Master Gardener training will start February 9th. And it is a commitment. It's a little bit of a time commitment, as Bob can probably attest to. The training is every Thursday from 9 a.m. till 12 p.m. So it's a 3-hour class every Thursday through about the end of May. So it's a 14-15 hour class schedule, 14-15 hour sessions. That's how many classes we have. I'll get it right here in a minute. But it's 3 hours each class to get your Master Gardener training, and it's Bob. Anything you can say about the training?
It's a great class. I highly recommend it. Anybody interested in really taking their gardening skills and horticulture skills to the next level to take the class. It's very comprehensive. Johnny coordinates expert speakers. Experts on the various topics, I really enjoyed taking it, and it really opens your eyes to just the tremendous wealth of information that's available out there, particularly through NC State and all of the great folks within NC State that provide horticulture support and gardening support.
Yeah, it is a collaborative effort. We do try to get some of the specialists to speak, and we do have those lined up, and we'll have other agents speaking as well. It's not a class that you have to come and listen to me every time. We're building it in conjunction with Vance and Warren County, so Paul McKenzie's group is going to be joining us. We'll meet in person, not in Person County. We'll meet face-to-face, all right? We'll meet face-to-face, and our class will be in Berea at the Volunteer Fire Department in Berea. I try to find a place sort of in between both counties, and rather than having to go from one county to the other each week. I get confused and when I start doing that. So we've just got one location that we'll come to each week, and it's in Berea at the Volunteer Fire Department there. It's sort of centralized between the two counties, and I look forward to having that class. It's always fun. I usually learn as much as I teach during those classes, but as I said, we have other speakers that will speak, and they do a good job. We cover everything from landscape designing to reading a soil test to composting, insects and diseases. I mean, it's amazing how large the field of horticulture is when you start breaking it down into different topics. So it's a great. I enjoy it. I hope the participants enjoy it as much as I enjoy putting it on. So, that's just the beginning. So you do the training, and then you're an intern, and then that first year after your training, you get 20 hours, 20 volunteer hours, and 40 20 educational hours, 40 volunteer hours, and you'll become a master gardener. So you'll be a certified master gardener, and then every year after that, you need to get 20 volunteer hours and 10 educational hours to remain certified. So it is a program. We really try to encourage people to take advantage of being a master gardener and learning from the resources that are available at NC State and North Carolina A&T as well, both of them being the land-grant universities in North Carolina. So there is a $150 charge for the class or the training. There's several classes through the training. It's a $150 charge. The $150 does include a textbook or a book, a fairly large book. I mean, you could use it for a paperweight if you needed to. It's fairly large, but I think. Hopefully, you get more than what you pay for when you get to take this class. So, anyway, if you're interested in signing up, if you're interested in more information, please give me a call at either Granville County or Person County Extension Office. Phone number in Granville County is 919-603-1350, and Person County it's 336-599-1195 if you're interested in taking that class. So again, it starts February 9th, and it's a three-hour class every Thursday morning. All right, Bob, yesterday we had a Master Gardener class, and we talked a little bit about landscaping, some things to look for in landscaping. We talked a little about mulches. I'm going to let you tell us what you learned about mulches yesterday.
Well, there's obviously a wide variety of options there. I think an important thing is, don't get too heavy with the mulch. Obviously, you can do some damage if you pile that mulch up too high. For example, on a tree, you don't want to come up too high on that tree trunk, because that can start to encourage fungus and other types of problems. So you don't want to get crazy with it. But otherwise, there's a variety of options there, and obviously it's key for a couple of reasons. It inhibits weed growth. It's not going to entirely prevent it, but it's certainly going to inhibit weed growth. But also, particularly in our area with our climate, it certainly helps retain moisture around the base of the plant. As we know, we can have some nice rainy days, and then we can have a long period of dry weather, and it provides a huge advantage to the plant if some of that moisture is retained. It prevents a lot of evaporation off the soil surface, with that mulch covering.
Yeah, that is good. And we're going to take a quick break again, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about mulches. But let's get another word in for our sponsors, E.B. Harris Auctioneer Company, that has an auction in Youngsville, I believe, in the morning, and South Boston Memorials, family-owned since 1956.
E.B. Harris Auctioneers, NCAL 1468, announces the farm equipment auction for F.C. Winston Jr. Estate and others to be held Saturday, September 17th at 9:30. Sale site address, 5206 Highway 96 in Youngsville. For terms to see photographs of items up for auction and more information, log on to ebharris.com or call EB at 252-257-2140. The complete auction service, EB Harris Auctioneers. You will find work and field ready equipment, tractors, trailers, vehicles, hay, grain, and livestock equipment, plus guns, shop equipment, and lots more. Bring a friend. Two sales will be running at the same time, Saturday, September 17th at 9:30 at 5206 Highway 96 in Youngsville. For more information, log on to ebharris.com or call 252-257-2140. South Boston Memorials, located 1439 Seymour Drive in South Boston, Virginia, has been in business since 1958. The Myers family of South Boston Memorials believe that every life has a story. For four generations, their life work has been to present and preserve that story for our prosperity to hear. Allow South Boston Memorials to tell yours. South Boston Memorials has granite memorials, markers, and mausoleums over 300 in stock. In-house laser etching is available at South Boston Memorials, and they can also make pet markers. For memorial benches, vases, and monuments, call on South Boston Memorials at 434-572-3859 or visit their website, sobomemorials.com. That's 434-572-3859. South Boston Memorials is located 1439 Seymour Drive in South Boston, Virginia. Like us on Facebook or visit the website, sobomemorials.com.
All right, thank you to our sponsors. And we're talking about mulches, Bob, and one thing that came up yesterday in our talk, too, was the different types of mulches. And that's one question that I often get is, you know, what's the best mulch to use? And, you know, it's sort of a personal preference on your mulches. A lot of people like the hardwood, the shredded hardwood mulch. Some people like the pine bark mulch. Some people like the pine straw. You know, that is, you know, any of them will work. Any of them will be fine. Question did come up with insects getting into your mulch and up against your house. And, you know, insects like termites, and that's what most people are concerned about in their house, termites don't usually get into mulch because they like wood, and most mulches are going to be more bark-based than they are wood-based. So, you know, you don't really have problems with termites getting into the bark or to the mulch. And as you mentioned, Bob, yesterday, the most of the time termites want a larger source of wood than what the mulch will provide.
Right, right. Yeah, they're going to set up a colony in a more substantial piece of wood. I think that that's probably the major concern.
Yeah. So, you know, use whichever mulch is your preference. You know, some people like the synthetic mulches. I probably shouldn't have personal opinions on the radio with my extension hat on, but I'm not a big fan of the synthetic mulches. But some people like it; they don't deteriorate. I like the organic mulches because they do deteriorate and they add to your soil, and they they're going to add nutrients to your soil as well as they deteriorate. Bob mentioned, you know, don't put them too thick. There's a term called volcano mulching, and if you see me in your yard and you've done volcano mulching, then I'm taking a picture of it. Okay, so I won't post the address and everything online, but that is something you want to stay away from. And what I'm speaking of when I say volcano mulching is around the base of the tree. You go up, you know, 6-7. I've seen it as high as 18 inches to 24 inches up on the trunk of a tree. That is not what you want to do with your mulch. You want your mulch to go up to the base of the tree, but very, very thin layer. In fact, when it gets to the base of the tree, you want it to taper off to hardly any mulch. You know, 3 to 4 foot, holy smoke, 3 to 4 inch, that would be as much as you would want. 3 to 4 inch, you know, around the base of the tree. And each year you add, you don't need to add 3 to 4 inches. You're just top dressing after that first initial layer. And as Bob mentioned, it's great for for retaining moisture, to help retain moisture, and also to help control weeds as well. So, you know, just apply the mulch. It's great, and just apply it correctly and choose the one you want. Any departing remarks on mulches?
Yeah, I like the mulches that you know, have a tendency to pack down for the very reason of again, that, you know, retaining moisture and preventing weed growth. My personal, I use a lot of the shredded pine bark, the small, you know, very small pieces of pine bark, because around my blueberries, obviously I'm trying to make sure the acid level stays up on those plants, and like I said, it seems to pack down pretty nicely.
Yeah, yeah. Well, blueberries, we're keeping pH down on our blueberries, so we're, you know, want that pH to be, and most all organic matter, as it decays, it does, the pH drop some, so that's something that is very good to use as a pH buffer. So anyway, if you have any questions on mulch or anything, please feel free to give me a call at either Granville or Persons County office, and I'll be glad to talk to you about that. Let's go ahead, Bob, and get the last sponsor on for the day. Again, Jason Acock Auctioneer. He's having an auction tomorrow morning, so we'll get that on for Jason.
Jason Acock Auctioneering, NCAL 6679, announces an auction for Stuart and Ann Sykes to be held Saturday, September 17th at 10 a.m. at 19320 Highway 33 Northwest in Whitaker's. This auction will be on-site bidding only, no bias premium for any auction from Jason Acock Auctioneering. For terms, pictures of auction items, and more information, log on to jasonacockauctioneering.com. You can also call Jason at 919-495-0285. Up for auction, a 2001 2500 Chevrolet 4x4 truck, a Mahindra E-Max 20 tractor, Kubota Zero Turn Mower, an Easy-Go golf cart, lots of shop tools, household items including furniture and collectibles. Please note, all items must be removed the day of the sale. This will be Saturday, September 17th at 10 a.m. at 19320 Highway 33 Northwest in Whitaker's. It's an auction sale for Stuart and Ann Sykes. Call Jason Acock at 919-495-0285 or log on to jasonacockauctioneering.com for more information.
Again, thank you for our sponsors today. Appreciate all of those, and hope everyone that is listening, we'll patronize those sponsors, as we do appreciate them on the Granville, on the Gardener's Corner program. So welcome again to the Gardener's Corner program. We want to again send our regards out to Rob Hall. We're doing this today without him. I'm the horticulture agent for Granville and Pershing Counties, and I have with me Master Gardener Bob Brower, and I appreciate him being on the show today. Bob, this time of year, it's hard to believe, like you said earlier, that we have to think about cool weather coming up pretty soon. I was talking to somebody earlier this week, and you know, within the next 6 weeks, we could expect a frost. And there's some things that you don't want to do in the landscape to encourage new growth right now. We want our woody ornamentals and our perennials to start thinking about, you know, sort of going to sleep for the summer, or for the winter rather. And so we don't want to encourage. And what are some things that we want to stay away from right now?
Yeah, absolutely right, Johnny. I mean, everything's on a glide path into winter sleep. I think probably two of the main things is fertilization can encourage new growth, which can be problematic. Also, aggressive pruning can be problematic. Both of those things, again, encourage new growth, and we don't want new growth right now. We want, like I say, for the plants to be on that glide path into the winter and winter dormancy. So let them go ahead and do that, and save your fertilizer and your pruning energy for springtime.
Exactly. We want to make sure those plants are dormant before we do much of the pruning and fertilizing at this point. We don't want to fertilize to encourage that new growth. Once the plants go dormant, fertilization is not going to bring them out of dormancy any sooner. So once they go dormant, they're fully dormant. You know, fertilization can be applied to our woody ornamentals, and we can do some pruning. January, February are good months to prune. We don't usually get severely cold here, so we can do a little bit of pruning in November, December as well. But often with roses, I think of roses pruning because that's a plant that most people are going to prune every year. You can prune it back a little bit, like in November, end of November, first of December, because they, admit it, the roses are beautiful in the spring, summer, even now. You know, a lot of the roses are beautiful, but in the wintertime, they're not that attractive. So we can cut them back a little bit, and then you can do another prune in late February to get them back even further. But just sort of do a medium prune on it in the early winter stages, and then go back even more than that. But and leaves. If you have some fungus on our leaves right now, make sure you clean those leaves up when they fall. If you have any woody ornamentals or perennials that got some leaf spot or something on them through the summer, make sure you clean those leaves up so that fungus is not sitting there waiting to just jump back on those next spring. So sanitation goes a long way into disease management on ornamental plants. So just make sure you get those cleaned up and ready to go. You can compost them, or you can burn them. If they're very heavily diseased, I would advise to just get rid of them. Take them to a landfill or somewhere that does composting. Just don't keep them on your property. It's a good time to think about lawns as well. It's middle of September. Hopefully, you've already got your fertilizer out. If not, you're planning to get that out pretty soon. Overseeding this time of year is great. If you can get a soil sample, soil samples are free up until the end of November. So after the 1st of December, there's a $4 charge for those. And then starting the 1st of April, they become free again. So go ahead and get your soil samples in. Even for your garden, for your vegetable garden next year, get your samples in the fall. The nutrient value is not going to change that much. Go ahead and get them in so you've got that soil sample ready to go with next spring.
Yeah, anyway, that's, a, That's a tremendous service, the soil sample, and again, as you say, during certain parts of the year, it's a free service. But really, without that, you're just you're kind of shooting in the dark. So, you know, get the analysis done, get the report back, and you can really know what you need to do to augment your soils for what you want to, you know, what you're trying to achieve. And they've actually made that process a bit easier for the homeowner. In terms of the form that has to be filled out. So, again, a tremendous service provided by State of North Carolina.
Yeah, it is. So, all right, I think we're about out of time for today. Again, thank you to all our sponsors. Thank you for Kilby for running everything back at the station for us. Bob, thank you for joining us. And until next time, we will bid you farewell.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.